Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the Battlecast. I am your host, Seth Vilo, here with brilliant minds that I recruited to talk about our topic today, and I got the most brilliant minds to talk about it. First off, we've got the doctor himself, Dr. Whale, Dr. Shamu.
Hello, hello.
And joining him today to do all sorts of crazy evil antics is the one and only Linian.
He's totally lying. We were not the people he wanted, but we are the people he got, so just thumbs up.
Are you kidding? When I decided on this topic, I didn't have two other names in my head at all. This topic and you two and kind of me are absolutely made for each other, so as you guys have seen from the title, when we get to the topic, we're going to be talking all sorts of levels of spice to the point that it's going to be like a habanero up in here. We're going to be Carolina Reaper levels of spice this episode. It's going to be great. And that's why I wanted Shamu and Linian on, because you guys are famous for it. I'm famous for it. It's our favorite thing in the world. But other than that, like before the topic, what have you guys been up to? I think draft is over now, or at least the first part. Did you guys make it to playoff?
We barely not.
Failed in tiebreakers.
Gotcha.
Was it a four-way tie, I think, for five and three?
Differential was not great. Yeah, and our differential is just not great. Our first 3 weeks, we lost, and then we just completely reverse windswept out.
It was the Wulu. The Wulu did it.
Really? Yeah. That was hilarious.
Did get on the kill board.
It did. That was hilarious. Like, am I kind of upset? Yeah, but at the same time, like, hey, like, we fixed our record. We got a kill with Wulu. I can't be upset about that.
Darn right. Yeah, I was pretty close in my end. I had one under my belt.
You were pretty close to a zero win season. I'm surprised you phrase it that way.
I was surprised you threw it.
Later on, I was actually really upset by the fact that I won that first battle, because then it could have been, like you guys said, it could have been clean.
It could have been a clean 0-8. Like,
clean zero. Moral of the story, kids, have a plan when you draft, because that doesn't work if you don't have one. Take it from me. Just trust me on this one. Go back and look at my fights. I'm a scrambling piece of mess just trying to scrape my way to victory, and it never works. So, yeah.
How many different variations did we have for draft day before ours came up? Because we had, like, 9 different tracks.
I think, like, we had, like, a very good, like, idea of the first, like, I think 5. Because we had doubled back to back, and once we got around first round, we were like, okay, our primary pick was there. We got that, we got our second primary. And then after that, people had to react. And then after that, we got our second picks.
Nice.
I think it was after.
We were saved from ourselves.
After third and fourth,
someone took Pincurchin.
Yeah, someone got pin encouraged. That was one of the things that messed us up, was we lost that. But after that, it was just like, okay, everything else we pretty much had a good grasp on. I think someone took one thing, or like at the very end. But like everything, like, we had ideas of what we wanted in each tier. And then once we got like, after like a certain point, we're just kind of like, okay, what's left? Let's just make this work. That's fine. That's fine. We got our type. Like, we didn't really have much issues with our draft.
And then we realized we had a lot of issues with our draft, but they were quiet ones.
Yeah, it was just more like, this thing that fills our thing does not really do what we want it to do.
I know that feeling.
And then the Claude Thermium just wasn't good enough. It didn't work. Wooloo was a better option.
Absolutely. Hands down, the better option.
It got a kill. I don't know if Clother ever did.
It got a kill?
It did.
Yeah. Wooloo got a kill last game.
That's so
weakness
funny.
Policy Wooloo. Well, like, more spice like that later in the episode.
That's great. You're hearing it from us, all us people who are out of the draft, so we get to pleasantly watch as everyone else finishes off everything, and we'll eventually crown the champion for each... What is it? Conference? Group? I don't...
There's each league. There's conferences within them.
I couldn't remember what the right word was. But yeah, we'll have the champions of each league, and it'll be awesome. I'm super excited to see how the remainder goes. But we're going to hop it from here. That was a pretty good introduction. And we're going to hop over to tier time and find out what on earth has been going on in the Smogon ladder for the last month. And we'll be right back.
Now it's time to see the results of this month's Blood, Sweat, and Tearing.
And we're back. We're starting with the most boring one, as always, because that's just how we do here. Except it's a little bit not as boring this time, because there's a lot of murmur and discussion and planning for DLC 2, The Crown Tundra, when we get all of our Ubers back. So we're starting off with the Uber tier, and it's going to be a problem when all of these things come back, like the Xerneas, the everything else, all the new Pokemon that we get from this. There's a lot of discussion about what to do about the Dynamax issue. And in Ubers, there's a Dynamax clause that lets you do certain things, so long as they didn't start out as an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
So think the difference between Kyurem Black and Kyurem White. Kyurem Black started as regular, started in OU, and then became Uber later, meaning it still is allowed to use Dynamax, while Kyurem White is not. It's complicated.
Oh, yeah, that is.
That sounds pointless and requires a knowledge of history that a new player may not have.
And that is exactly the reason, among other things, why they're talking about just doing away with Dynamax and Ubers altogether. Because it makes it so you have to study that tier, when previously Ubers has been, by design, among the more simple tiers to ever dive into, because nothing is not allowed.
I didn't even know they did that, and that's just sounds kind of, that's too, like, okay, if they're gonna do that, if they're even gonna allow that, they need to, like, that's too complex for Smogon. Like, they never do something that complex.
Right.
Like, I don't...
And this was a good experiment. It got them through DLC 1, but with all the legends coming back, or a lot of them, at least, and, you know, most of them won't be able to Dynamax with how this rule works, but it'll just change the landscape too much. There's a lot of discussion from a lot of the council leaders up at that level of just doing away with it entirely when DLC 2 lands. So that'll be something to look out for. And, I mean, that's Ubers. It's not news now, but it's news for
something
in the near future.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for.
Yeah, which we still haven't gotten a trailer on when Crown Tundra comes out or anything. We haven't gotten any new information. Yeah. Sigma's been throwing around a conspiratorial theory where the birds in Go being re-released is kind of hinting towards it, but I don't think it holds water.
We know
nothing. They just
kind
of do their own thing. We know nothing. So hopping from there down a tier, we're headed to OU, and the Cinderace retest that was promised is happening right now. And they're retesting the bunny. By discussion and with me having run on the ladder a little bit, trying it out, trying it not out, other such things, it's most likely going to remain banned. I'm so sorry, guys. P. McGee, Lenny, and you two, I'm so sorry, guys. It's probably going.
Are they going to retest it after Crown Tundra? Because that's so different.
entirely possible. They have not ruled that out at all.
I feel like they wouldn't retest again, though, so it's going to be a bit at the very least.
Right? That's why I'm was at the worst possible time. They needed to just stick it back in with Crown Tundra, let it go. Would have been fine.
Yeah. Oh, well, they kind of had... They'd broken a precedent one way, and to keep themselves in check, as far as, like, the council stuff, they fulfilled their promise saying they would retest it now as the next thing, as soon as possible. So... I'm glad they're keeping their word and not just starting to quick ban things that are kind of on the fence. That's a good thing. It's plus and minus. I know that Finch did a whole huge video kind of explaining the reasoning behind it. So it's on YouTube. You can look it up. And he explains a lot of the reasoning behind why the council made the decisions that they did and when. So it's good. But anyway, the next couple things on the radar for... what might be the next suspect. One of them might even happen, just depending on timeline, before Crown Tundra comes out, and that could be Urshifu, specifically Single Strike, in case that wasn't clear.
Yeah. I know there was a lot of talk about it when it first came out, and it kind of went under the radar for a bit.
Mm-hmm. When you're having to compare it to things like Magearna and even Cinderace, it's much less prevalent. But... you know, Clef was at 30% usage, which is kind of... a lot of things were that. And now it's at 45 because of Urshifu. Like, being completely transparent, Urshifu's existence mandates Clefable on half the teams. Because otherwise, you just crumble. That's one thing that can actually stand up to it. Other things, just even Dark Resists can't. Like, Mandibuzz folds. Corviknight folds, which is something that could absorb a blow or two. There aren't a lot of sturdy
dark, but yeah,
it doesn't resist either, but you can kind of use it to just be bulky and pressure stall it, but even then, like, it just cracks, it crumbles. The dark resists don't resist fighting, the fighting resists don't resist dark, and it basically is mandating not only the Clef, but a dark resist plus regenerator core. So when you predict wrong on the regenerator, you can switch out and heal yourself back up. It's mandating that build core on a lot of non-hyper offense teams, which is why people freaked out about Toxapex, you know, because it's everywhere, it's hard to break, and I see it all the time. Yeah, that's because it's required to be on every team, along with Amoongus and Tangrowth and Clefable on everything. But yeah, I'm ranting again.
Because essentially just a regenerator core Clefable, then like three attackers of your choice is what it comes down to at that point.
Uh-huh. And then one wild card.
Yeah.
Or your own Urshifu. But
why
yeah.
Why would you not? It's Urshifu.
It's warping everything around itself. So I'm glad people are finally seeing it, especially people who make YouTube videos are seeing it and saying it. So look, that's just me.
There's a really good check for Urshifu. Every Urshifu also runs combat to fight other Urshifu. And if that's good enough for Landorus, should be good enough for the bear. It's all I'm saying.
Not wrong. I mean, people have started running Comfey in OU because triage is a +3 to anything that heals you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can bypass the Sucker Punch and heal off of it, and... it doesn't matter how fast or slow you are. You triage Draining Kiss it, and that's what they use to knock it out. What is Comfey doing up here? It's all because of this dumb thing. But there's other such trends going on. I wrote this wrong in the notes. And one big trend is that heavy-duty boots are being slapped on everything in the world.
So, yeah. A little peek behind the curtain here. He put Rocky Helmet on everything as the new trend, and that is a very different sentiment.
Yeah.
Very different. I mean, that being said, that's also there for the reason of Urshifu and U-Turn, but
it's just
mostly...
It's the result of Urshifu with the whole thing we were talking about before, Clef Pair effects. So you have your free pivots without... and they don't take any chip damage from switching in, so they don't get penalized by hazards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the coolest, funny things I've seen is unaware Clefable running heavy-duty boots, so you see it switch in, and it looks like Magikarp.
Oh,
that's funny. Yeah. That is funny.
I like that, actually. That is a good tech. That's a meme type thing.
Yeah. Like, do I set up on it? I don't know.
Do I set up on it? Yeah, it totally looks like it's just got Magikarp.
joke's on you, sucker.
Can you see it take a sandstorm chip? It's like a false front. It's like, I know back in a while, like a couple years ago, like, I would use Specs Galvantula lead. You don't expect Specs, you just expect Sticky Web. So then when I click Thunder turn one and it kills you, you're just like, what?
Yeah. Yep, exactly. But yeah, there it's hurting hazard stack teams a lot.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I've also seen teams doing something a little bit weird, and that's heavy duty boots is being run on a lot of stealth rock weak things. So it's making the rocks less powerful overall than spikes are, because a lot of other things aren't running the boots if they're not directly weak to rocks. So I've been seeing offensive teams forego stealth rock entirely and only have a spike setter, because they do more bang for your buck if the target is grounded, because if it's weak to rocks, it's not going to be doing
that. Yeah. Like if you see a Volcarona or like a Rotom, it's more likely to be heavy duty boots than not. And then your stealth rocks aren't doing anything. And it's like spikes do better damage to more, as you're saying, more options. Because those more options are going to be running boots because they're not weak to rocks.
Right. It cracks open the Pharaoh Toxapex type cores a little bit more. So that's an interesting trend that I've been seeing. There's also a lot of other weird stuff going on, especially because the OLT just finished up. There's a lot of funky trends that come out of those every single time they happen. Things like Colossal on offensive teams being used as both a stealth rocker and spinner, kind of like Excadrill, but in a weird different way. Senta Scorch is seeing use as a Volcarona counter. Arcanine is seeing use as a Volcarona / Cinderace counter. One of my favorites are Heavy Duty Boots Sticky Hold Gastrodon.
I hate that.
That's fair.
It's so great. I love it because it's a knockoff absorber.
Water's not super prevalent as far as I can tell, other than Toxapex and maybe Rapid Strike Urshifu. So it's like there's no real
and
reason.
And Primarina too.
Oh, Primarina, yeah, Primarina exists. But even then, you don't see that on, like, you see Toxapex on every team, but you're not worried about it, like, sweeping you with water. Like, the only thing I would be worried about is Primarina. And
even then, you run Clear Smog on the Gastrodon, so you get rid of all of its boosts and you recover off everything.
It's just like, so there's no real, like, you could run the wall like Storm Drain or Water Absorb for just the option of like healing and just having the immunity, but like if it's not super prevalent, why bother?
I don't think it's bad. I just don't like the idea of a slug in boots that are adhesed to it.
Well, I'm more like going into like what the mentality behind it is, because that's like it's the same thing with the stealth rocks and spikes. There's no reason to run stealth rocks because everything is running heavy duty boots. So why may as well just run spikes?
Right. And then eventually, your heavy duty boots use drops off because no people are using stealth rocks. So stealth rocks becomes more viable. It's called a dynamic equilibrium, and they're fun. What an actual meta is supposed to be.
Yeah. But another trend I've seen is special defensive Tyranitar. I've loved that thing until Cinderace came back, but can't use it yet. Not until it's rebanned. Choice Band Rhyperior to just blow holes in your opponent's team.
Yeah, Rhyperior does that.
Yeah.
Infestation Tangrowth to trap things, including other Tangrowth.
That's funny, actually.
Substitute Dragapult has taken off again. Either Hex substitute or Dragon Dance substitute.
I kind of understand.
There's also, it's really good for just blocking everything, really. Especially if you combo with Leftovers or Boots, even. I've seen Boots Pult. I've used Boots Pult because you U-turn all over the place, and it's great. And also, there's a Grudge one, which we'll go over later.
That was more interesting to me. That was the one. Yeah. You don't see that move pop up often.
Yeah,
I didn't remember what it did. I thought it was Spite.
Yeah,
it's kind of.
Yeah, I did too when I first ran it.
It's kind of like Spite, but we'll get into it
a little bit. Yeah, so on the spice rack for OU is something that I've seen, I've loved. I haven't tried it, but I've seen it. It's Colossal with heavy duty boots because it's a fire type, and for the ability you can choose one of two, either Flame Body to try and catch random burns on things, or Flash Fire just to be flat out immune to fire. I personally like Flame Body to switch it in on random U-turns. EVs are Big Bulky Boy, 248 HP, 8 attack, 180 defense, 72 special defense, a lot of defense kind of mixed around otherwise, Relaxed Nature with Rock Blast, Stealth Rock, Rapid Spin, and Flamethrower. It's just kind of neat. I like it. It's cool. You can catch burns. You can set rocks. It's a fire type that's different. I like it.
It's a good physical pivot with Flame Body, too. So, with U-turns, you have a physical pivot that can burn the physical attacker that are attacking you.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And there's a lot of moves that make contact.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, that's kind of OU. Give that Colossal a try. It's kind of a little bit meme-y. We're going to get to more meme-y stuff later, but I've seen it on really high ladder battles, and it works really well on offensive teams, so give it a shot. It's fun. And hopping down a tier, why don't you take us away, Linian?
Why don't I? They ban Jirachi. Now, normally ban may be tight, and it may be pretty close. This was not. This was not one of those instances. 81% of people wanted Jirachi gone. Less than 1 in 5 people was like, this thing's fine and Meteor Beam is okay. I wasn't why, but like, hey, now it's got special options.
Yeah.
They unbanned Chansey because everything conspires to make my life suck. First they ban the bunny, then they unban the egg. We got Kingdra down here. We get Slowbro down here. That's great. That's very good. You should keep an eye on Slowbro just teleporting away and healing. It's very good. They lost Kyurem, and now he's kind of on the chopping block in OU, so I don't know why he was here for so long. They lost Skarmory again, and Tyranitar's back in OU, and so is Hatterene. They're doing a test. They are testing Lycanroc Dusk, so Skarmory went away. And that was the only thing that was really keeping Lycanroc Dusk in check. It's got dark and fighting and rock coverage and fire and ice coverage and electric
and psychic.
Coverage and psychic. And yeah, it's monstrous.
All of them are boosted by Tough Claws too, which is stupid.
Yeah.
It's probably going to go. It's not Jirachi probably gonna go, but it's like Cinderace probably gonna go.
It's the fact of like not exactly like Greninja, but it's like it can run 4 moves and you have to be prepped for that exact moveset, otherwise it destroys your team.
Yeah.
And like it picks its counters, is it saying like.
Yeah. And if you have an all out attacker set, you have picked that to have weaknesses the rest of your team can shore up. You're like, oh, I'm going to get walled out by this, so my rest of the team is going to punish that hard, to the point where it's just irrelevant. Zarude is coming out there, and it does well with Future Sight Abuse. Makes Volt Turn Port, which I hate as an acronym. Makes it really common. It eats Web's teams alive, which are apparently on the rise. Chansey is not as omnipotent as people thought it would be. I give that until Lycanroc Dusk gets banned before they have to reevaluate.
One of its big hindrances is that it requires Eviolite, and people this gen have finally started figuring out run knockoff on freaking everything.
Yeah.
And also that means it can't run boots, so the whole stack hazards bit also just chips down Chansey way more than it should.
Noivern's up in S rank. I'm amazed it took this long for people to figure out that this thing is just what you need. It comes in, it clicks the kill button, and then it leaves. It can pivot. Its defensive utility is present, which for something this aggressive is great. It's
good. A good defogger, too.
Yeah, it can do anything you need.
Was it 121 base speed? Is that what it is? Or is it like
123, I believe.
123, yeah.
Or
right.
Maybe 121.
It's 120, I think, something. 123 sounds right. That's
above 120.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. Plus having fast defog, fast offense, like, being able to slap a specs on it, it's got, that'll make up for somewhat, a little lower special attack, but it's still high, it's still up there. And it's just, that's, with that speed and that power, it's just,
Alright, and we've got Klefki on the rise, because, you know, it's a spike setter, it's solid steel, and it stops Zarude. And I hate it. It's the worst Pokemon. It's also speed control too. Yeah, no, it's got everything you need. It's got Thunder Wave. It's got Foul Play. It doesn't even need to invest in attack to kill your attackers. It's the worst thing, and it needs to go. I don't mean banned from UU. I mean it needs to get ejected out of an airlock.
It's skill type, it won't die. It doesn't breathe.
Yeah.
I don't care. It can float there forever.
Steal an oxygen pack. I remember I had Klefki key rings. They're fun.
Klefki was the imposter. It's fine.
Yeah.
I was in electrical doing my tasks.
Let's hop down to the next tier. What are you looking at in RU, Shingo?
All right. So, Heracross got quick banned. All right. It kind of makes sense with just coverage and what it is. It's a Heracross. Heracross is still a strong mon. I'm surprised it even aren't
RU. Spikes now, too.
Yeah, like, I'm surprised it's even an RU. Like, Torkoal got put down to RU. Is Drought banned in RU?
I don't recall. I don't believe it is. I believe you only start to hit the drought ban in NU and below.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess they get a drought setter. Cool. Rotom-O, Araquanid, and Sharpedo got moved up. Rotom-O, they're all strong mons. Not sure what Araquanid's doing in RU, but, like, Sharpedo can get out of hand. And it gets close combat now. It's got, like, it makes sense. Like, they all do decent things. Galarian Slowbro now has a home that it can... Or has got a place it can call home. With great coverage. Just beat fighting types. It's got the quick claw, quick draw shenanigans. With good coverage. Like, it's a fun mon. It's kind of a...
It still gets flamethrower.
It's disgusting, especially with the quick claw, quick draw. Like,
yeah, but even if you're going for a more serious set of nasty plot with Regenerator, like, it's still very good down there.
Yeah, and just the percentage of getting the priority, 41% priority, and then 34%.
Yeah, that's if you have Quick Draw and holding Quick Claw.
And Quick Claw. And it's, 34% not to trigger over two turns.
So, yeah.
Like, that's disgusting.
For 41% of the time, it works every time.
Oh. For an idea of this thing's coverage, it's got Poison, Fire, Ice, Psychic, Ghost, and that's Ghost Water, and that's just on special, with also Grass for Grass Knot. If you want to, because this thing has equivalent physical attacks, it's also got Ground, Fighting, it's not good. I mean, it is very good. It's just distressing how much it gets at once.
Also in RU, though, Viridian is still making people salty being good either physically or specially. And it's just like, you just splash it and it works. You throw in a team.
People have all sorts of mean names for it.
Yeah. We lost Sharpedo, so we got the other torpedo fish, Barracuda. Essentially, they do the same thing. Except Sharpedo
there are two there are two torpedo fish. This is just hitting me now. I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah. It's just, they do the same thing. The only thing that Sharpedo had was, I think it had a bit more attack, but less speed, but it got the speed boost.
Yeah.
So, like, they had the same coverage pretty much, too. Like, they both get close combat. They both got access to Poison Jab. They both get access to Crunch, Liquidate. Like, same moveset, just a slightly different ability and, like, stat distribution.
Sharpedo gets flip turn, right?
I believe it does. Yeah. Also, Sharpedo had the workable special attack. I forgot about that. It's got, like, a 90.
Oh, yeah, that, too.
It's, like, 80 or 90.
95, I think.
Because, I remember back when...
it was
when,
a Gen 3 mon.
Well, back when Megas were a thing. Hydro Pump Sharpedo was a thing. Special Sharpedo was, like,
even before
fire.
Megas, I remember I ran Ice Beam on it for giggles.
Yeah, I remember that. There was some fun chat sets with it. But yeah, you also have Klefki here. Klefki's an RU.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. So yeah, Klefki's here doing Klefki things. Magnet Rise is being ran a bit more here just for getting rid of ground. Rotom Moza was, I guess, the best removal in RU. That
used to be, yeah.
It was, but now it's gone. That's kind of unfortunate. But at least you got Torkoal as a spinner. Hey.
Whoa. Yeah, that thing took a tumble from... That was OU. That's how far it fell.
Yeah.
Just meta trends. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Sigilyph is on the radar because people have some checks to it, but it's just there's no real counterplay minus Colossal and Spideff Melodic, which kind of makes sense. I know Sigilyph can do some janky things when if it gets you give it enough time.
Yeah, it's hard to wall. You can't really ever stop it because it just sets up in front of you. It's got Life Orb boosted attacks that are coming off of a decent special attack, good speed.
Yeah.
It doesn't get worn down.
Yeah.
It's on the radar. It's probably going to be looked at here soon. No time frame on that at all, of course, but it's definitely on the radar.
Yeah. And now it's the Spice.
The Spice Rack is too good. I was going to say, Sigilyph only learns flying and psychic moves by level up, and it alternates between the two, but that's not a relevant fact.
I did not know that, actually. With how crazy its move pool could be, I didn't know that at all.
But on the Spice Rack today, we've got a special spice.
Oh boy.
We were talking about Slowbro earlier. So we've got a Quick Claw, Quick Draw Slowbro with 244 HP, 252 attack, and 12 speed, running Adamant Nature with Shell Side Arm or Poison Jab if you don't want to take the risk.
If you don't want to live.
You don't want to live in the moment. You have that. You have Drain Punch. You have then Headbutt or Earthquake for OU or some other coverage move that you want. And then that little extra thing that makes the set all work is Belly Drum. So you just click Belly Drum and then you just pray for priority and murder.
This is exactly what we were referring to when we were like 41% of the time it works every single time.
Yeah. Like
I've seen replays where it procs either Quick Draw or Quick Claw 8 turns in a row.
And a little spoiler,
it's stupid.
This is on the team of the episode, and we were just playing around with it before. We were looking, oh, we've just got this thing left, and they've got it with a Hydreigon. What do they have left? They have 3 mods, but like. If we get priority all 3 times, we could win this.
Uh-huh. It was a Hydreigon, a Tentacruel, and a Slurpuff. Don't ask me why they were in OU, but those 3 were left. And we could have won that fight. Yeah. That's the weirdest
thing. I think that the crit mattered, but even then it was like, it was the fact that, oh, we have coverage for all 3 of these things.
Yeah.
And we could win if we hit priority.
That's such a weird feeling.
Right? That's it for RU.
Yep, we'll hop down to the next one, and I'll take this one. We're in NU now, and a lot happened. One thing that they did at the 1st of September was they unbanned everything that was previously in a BL borderline status. So they brought down Tauros, Haunter, Turtonator, and Sigilyph to NU. Those were all rebanned later on through council votes. So, to be clear, those came down, and Tauros, Haunter, Turtonator, and Sigilyph are all still banned in NU. Another ban took place that was Exeggutor Alola. That one was banned. The other people from the BL area that came down and actually managed to stay, they weren't as big of an issue, are Vanilluxe, Vikavolt, Gallade, Kingler, Sneasel, and that's it. Just a note is that Drought is still banned. Just that didn't come down from the BL status or anything like that. That was determined somewhat recently to ban that, but just to be clear, that's still banned.
The mons came down, but any additional rules were not undone.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. A couple things dropped from RU to NU and entered the tier. Those are Cincino, Drampa, Duraludon, Gastrodon for a little bit, Jellicent, and Pinkerton. I imagine Gastrodon's not long for this world because it's catching on in OU. And 2 things left NU and went to RU just based on usage. Those are Golurk and Ditto. That's the update for there as far as tiering goes. Couple things going on is that a lot of steals down there don't have a lot of recovery, which paves the way for a lot of things kind of walking in and taking over. There's a lot of fairies down here. A couple that dropped that we didn't mention before are Whimsicott, Aromatis, and Ribombee. So with steals that don't have a lot of recovery, those are pretty dangerous. Another thing that absolutely loves steals not being able to heal themselves is Frozmoth. Because that thing can snowball out of control rather quickly. And some other stuff. There's some cool physical sweeper checks now that dropped. There's Jellicent, Runa Regis, and Corsola Galarian. They're all really solid physical sweeper stops. They actually have stealth rockers now that have dropped. Rhydon, Mudsdale, and... I see what you did there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I see what you did there.
You're talking about Runa Regis? Like, I don't...
Yeah, I'm talking about Runa Regis. Galarian Kofag Regis.
I don't see that. What are you talking about?
I will not be fooled again.
Are you trying to push some sort of agenda, Sus? Like, I only see Runa Regis there. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe
Shemu
I'm crazy.
Shemu and I were
in
doing your tasks.
Oh my gosh. But yes, Rhydon, Mudsdale, and Runa Regis are all brand new stealth rockers down here. And with all this changing, like, of all the tiers this month, and you took the biggest amount of changes, so there's a... It's just chaos down there right now. So a lot of old staples are not as good. Skuntank and Rapidash, for example, are just not as good at the moment with all the other crazy things going on. As far as what's on the radar, though, there's a lot of consideration about Aurora Veil right now, especially with Vanilluxe coming back from being previously banned in the Borderline area. There's a lot of talk about Aurora Veil being just almost impossible to stop, almost impossible to counter, especially because there's... As a reminder, you need hail going when you do Aurora Veil, or else nothing happens. And there's no counter weather down here. So once hail is up, it's just kind of up. So it makes it very easy to set Aurora Veil kind of whenever you want to without any fear of interference. So there is precedent for a just straight Aurora Veil ban. That happened in Generation 7. And that's something that's being looked into as we approach Crown Tundra and all that madness that's guaranteed to hit. So that's just what's on the radar next for NU. And, I mean, that's pretty much it. There's a lot of chaos going on there right now, so we can't really factor in trends at the moment because everything is just going way too fast. Like, some of those more recent bans happened a matter of days ago, so they're still recovering from that.
There are no trends in unrelated data. That's where we're at.
Exactly. Everyone's still trying to figure anything out. So let's hop down to the final one. Linian, take us away.
Yeah. We've got two bans in the PU tier. We've got Clang Clang. We've got Bouffalant. They needed to go.
Yeah.
They were fast. They hit you very hard. And there wasn't much you could do about it. Did they unban anything? No. Good. Notable drops, you got Gorgeist, you got Lurantis, so now we've got some fat grasses again. That's fun. Nothing really left. PU is one of those things where very rarely do people, like, go, you know what I really wanted to grab? Something from PU.
Yeah. Once you make it here, you're kind of stuck here forever.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, Iowa.
Yep.
Clink and Bouffalant were able to just crush their counters, and they were just, once they wiped your check, there was nothing that could be done, and you just died. You just lost. Another council vote, another ban vote is happening on Saturday. They're looking at Lilligant mainly because the Lilligant checks are gone. Sapsipper, mm-hmm.
And
Bouffalant being probably the bigger of the two.
Yeah. That's a big one. And just a lot of things shifting at once. And I remember on a previous Battlecast, we talked about this once, where a lot of people are just annoyed with Lilligant. It's not necessarily that it itself is broken, but the combination of factors on it, namely being able to sleep powder and then just fire off unboosted, pedal dances that aren't confusion inducing.
Because it has own tempo.
Correct, yeah. It's a little too much all in one piece, so they're it's always on the radar.
And the other one they're looking at is Throw. It's got a suite of offensive abilities, it's chunky, and it hits relatively hard. Kind of hard to beat it. Hatrim isn't causing very much havoc. It's gone in viability, it's not even tuned anymore, it's just back in NFE. Heat more use is crumbling now that Clink is banned. That's the only reason people were using it anyway. It's a heat more. It's got, like, no stat above 90.
Yeah. It doesn't even have a signature move anymore.
Nope. Lost that.
Nope. It had it for a generation it was not obtainable in.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's real Heatmore for you. Feels Heatmore, man. Mime and Rhyme usage are going to just rock it up because their counters are gone. Normal Goregeist and Large Goregeist fell off, but, I mean, why would you just not use Super and Small? Just use Super and Small. Go on the extreme ends of these spectrums.
Yeah, you don't go in the middle. You just go max HP, max speed, one or the other.
Go big or go home.
Right.
And go home very quickly. That brings us to the spice rack, and I do have a spice. This is an interesting thing. I did have to look up the interaction to make sure it was working the way I was intending it to, and it is, which is good. The ability I put on here is wrong, and we're just gonna... Yeah, I'm gonna fix that.
I was about to say. No, that's right.
So... We're going to talk about something that's been sitting in A-minus viability, but I think is actually one of the better wall breakers in the tier, and that's Raboot. So, Libero is a thing that Raboot has, and it has a scarf, this Raboot. We're not going to be running Eviolite, and notably, we're not using boots, which they tend to like boots. It's a fire type. It's going to be, at least when it's switching in, so it's going to be taking that damage. So your team has to accommodate for this. But with a naughty nature, which is plus attack minus special defense, you only need 40 points in speed with a choice scarf to outspeed Galarian Rapidash, which is the fastest thing in tier that you need to outspeed. Everything that's like fast, you know that this isn't your answer for that. But this outspeeds Galarian Rapidash after the choice scarf by 1 point, and that's all you need.
Wow.
Because those things are almost always running a boosting move. They're always like Sword Dance or Calm Mind, so they're not going to be scarfed. With 40 speed, 252 attack, that leaves you 216 points. Now, most people would put them into HP or a defense, but we've stuck it in special attack. We've got U-turn because this thing is still very fast, and that'll deal nice chip and scout very nicely. You've got Flare Blitz because this thing doesn't get Pyro Ball, so you got to take what you can get. You've got High Jump Kick to smack things that Flare Blitz is resisted by. It whacks your steel types. It whacks a lot of things. And then we've got the secret spice, which is Electro Ball. So because you outspeed things with your scarf, and you have 216 points in special attack...
Oh my gosh.
This is
the spiciest thing I've seen.
This eats a lot of flying types, and if you do any chip to them, like you get your rocks or whatever, they just kind of die. And it's not a calc that people are ready for. So... check your calcs if you're running into flying type issues. Check your calcs and see if Electro Ball 216 special attack choice scarf Raboot is right for you.
Oh my gosh, that's delightful. That's what Spice Rack is for, is things like this. That's fantastic.
Note, heavy side effects may include heavy hazard control being mandatory. It's a good set, but I wouldn't say it's a great set.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tier. Right.
Yeah, and that pretty much wraps up tier time. We're going to be right back, and we're going to dive into meme spice and anti-meta ideas with the kings of it right here. So we will be right back.
And now for our main topic.
And welcome back. We are here with the Meme Kings to discuss the spiciest habanero level monstrosities and just general strategies behind making a meme, making the spicy stuff, going anti-meta. So what do you guys tend to do when you're thinking of what to do? Like if you've decided, for instance, that you're going to be off the beaten path. What does your train of thought go?
Usually it's one of two things. It's either I look at a mon and I like see something it can do and I want to make it work, or I see a mon and it solves a problem. Like, looking at the move pool and, like, stats and stuff, like, back in, I think I've talked about it before, too, back in Gen 6 pre-bank, specific meta, we had Megas running around for the first time, and Venusaur was prevalent because sick fat. Like, oh, I'm neutral to two of my weaknesses, and, like, the only thing that hurt it were flying and psychic, and flying was here and there. He had Talonflame and such, but it was just still, like, it wasn't just that. So, and the meta was very limited because it's pre-bank, so you didn't have access to everything. He had, like, essentially whatever was in Kalos, whatever was in X and Y. And this was also the time where Quagsire was good. And then, again, even though it's, yeah, we're talking about Mega Venusaur being a prevalent threat, but Quagsire being a viable, and it was weak to grass, it had a good partner in Miltank, which can sap zipper. And I don't remember the exact spread, but it was like split defenses and like even HP or like max HP or close to max HP. But it was Milk Drink, I believe it was Heal Bell, Body Slam, and then Headbutt, which just flat out countered Venusaur. Because it could not two KO you. I think it was like, I don't remember how much it did. But it couldn't use Leech Seed, couldn't use grass type attacks, and you would come in on a grass type attack, you get the Sap Zipper boost, and then you then Headbutt, and essentially just like You just do enough damage to murder him. Like, that's it was like a one hit two. It wasn't one hit KO, but it was like a two hit KO, or like it did enough. And whatever you couldn't then headbutt, you would just slap with Body Slam to paralyze it as like just stab. And it was just, and it was an odd enough spread where you wouldn't normally calc it. And even then, Miltank's stats are surprisingly good. Like, I think
isn't it super fast?
It's yeah, fast. Weirdly fast. It's fast, and it's like physically bulky for some reason. Like, I'm gonna pull up the stats real quick, hopefully.
So while he's pulling it up,
I got it right here.
Okay, what is it? What is it?
So you got 95 HP. So like, it's not bad, but not great. It's good enough. 80 attack, same sort of scenario. It's like, yeah, it's not good on its own, but giving it a boost is enough to make it.
It's like a Talonflame.
Yeah. 105 defense. That right there is
what
you don't. Yeah, most like 105 base defense. You don't really need to invest in it, but if you did, it's a decent physical wall with a tolerable, HP. Special attack, it's 40, we don't care about that. Special defense of 70, workable, usable. Some investment will allow it to take some good hits. And then 100 base speed.
Wow.
So, its Dasper's not bad, and it gets good coverage, especially now with tutors and stuff. Back then it was kind of hard because you didn't really have access to all of that. So you had to go pretty much based off of, like, level tutor, egg move, stuff like that. But it's just, it got needed. It's a good mod. It's just that nowadays, like, an OU would get outclassed. It was just the fact of the matter that pre-bank OU was a very limited format.
In that specific space, it solved a problem.
Yeah, and in that specific team, too. That was another factor.
Yeah, it worked very well with Quagsire, which was a thing with Unaware. You wanted to have an Unaware mod with Haze because setup was just what setup was running rampant during that time too, and having an Unaware mod that just kind of nullified it completely was strong.
So a more recent example of it would be Shamu and I in our draft team, not the last week, which was its own thing, but we often had things that were just not what you'd expect, because we would look at our team and look at the opponent's team and we would go, what are our blocks, like what can we not deal with? And when you start approaching things from a problem first mindset, you can sometimes see different answers that other people might not be considering. So instead of going what can't Toxapex wall, a way that you're going to get something spicy out of it is, my team is having a problem with Toxapex and this, or this kind of coverage is what I would need. When you start to understand what you're looking for, sometimes the meta just does not give you a solid answer. And that's when you need to go off book. You need to start making something that you need to make the sauce yourself. There are enough Pokemon in the game. There's probably something that can do what you need. The question is if it's known for doing it.
Yeah. And if you look at other spreads too, and to agree, like, you'll see random, like, 12s or 16 or random numbers. Those are there for a reason, and it's most likely to do something. When you look at a spread and you just see, like, something jank, like, kind of, not jank exactly, but, like, the Colossal earlier, it had, like, what was this spread exactly? It was, like, 176 about defense, and it was just everywhere.
Yeah, like the 8 attack to do a specific thing that I don't know.
Yeah, it was 180 defense and 72 special defense. Those are there for a reason. It's not just... That's just not standard exact. Like, well, Ferrothorn had a standard one for a while, but it was like... When you see those...
It was built off of knowns.
Yeah. It's just... When you see those on a certain set, you know that's made for something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's something it's doing.
As far as memes, that encompasses a whole lot of things. Kind of like what you guys were touching on. It could be an entire Pokemon, like Shamu said, with Miltank. It could be other things, like a specific move, a specific coverage move, like the Electro Ball reboot that Linian was talking about. Or it could be your spread. It could be your EV spread. We're going to talk about a really weird Dragapult in the team that's built to be KO'd by a very specific threat, and that's its meme potential. That's what makes it a meme a little bit, but it's a good one. It has a reason for doing that.
Yeah, another one I discovered recently was Slurpuff, which is I've been playing around with a lot in Summer League. If people fought me in the gym challenge, they would have seen it. I think at the middle tier, in the suicide lead, Slurpuff. You run Thash with Emberdon and Sticky Web.
Oh,
so essentially turn one, you either do one of two things. You click Sticky Web, or you click Endeavor. Mm-hmm. So, you're feeling really spicy, you click Endeavor, and then focus, and if you, essentially, I've refined it now, so you essentially have no HP investment. You just run, like, zero IVs and everything except for, like, speed and special attack. Like, zero IVs, and just, you want to make sure you get brought down to your Sash. Then, like, you get Endeavor, you get hit, trigger your Sash, you hit them with the Endeavor, they're down to your level. Once your Sash is used, your Emberdon kicks in, doubling your speed, and you either finish them off, click webs, or if, like, you kill the first thing and something else comes in, you either click Endeavor again, or if you really want, you can just click Misty Explosion and just off yourself.
Like, oh my gosh.
That was the main idea of, like, oh, I can just use Misty Explosion and just kind of, like, boom. Same concept as Hatterene, too. You can do, I think it was, might be on a team of the episode, Trick Room Hatterene with Misty Explosion and Sash. So turn one, you Trick Room, you get knocked down to your Sash, and you just off yourself with Misty Explosion so you can get a free switch with three turns of Trick Room. Like, once I thought Misty Explosion, that was the first thing I came up with, was that Hatterene. The concept, like, because that's one thing Trick Room always wants, is a free way to get something in.
Yeah.
And we had Hatterene with, what, base 128-something special attack, like, over, like, 100 special attack, Misty Explosion is going to hit something hard. And worst case, you have a special sweeper in Trick Room.
Yep. And, I mean, that's what Bronzong did, too.
Yep.
Explosion
exactly.
With either screens or
Bronzong
Trick Room.
Bronzong did it, and same thing with Carbink at a point.
Yep. I think when people are talking about memes and things, I think there's this idea that, like, if I pick something that's off-meta and crazy, then I'm going to get wins because people aren't going to know what to do. And that's true to a point.
Yeah.
If people don't know what you're going to do, they might not make good predictions, or they might get surprised by a calc that they didn't do. Because, you know, when was the last time you did a calc on, I don't know.
The Rabu, exactly. You're saying. When did you ever do Electro Ball Rabu calc on your Swan? Well, Swan would die probably anyways, but even then, you know what I'm saying. Like, when would you ever think of that? You don't think of that often.
So you end up in the situation of getting someone by surprise, but things are meta because they work. Things do not get put to meta because they are, like, arbitrarily chosen. It's things that have, through multiple attempts at spice, found such consistency that they are going to work. You can't win just because you're off meta. You have to be able to do something and do it well, or at the very least, do something so specific it could not be done otherwise. Just picking things that other people don't know how to expect is not going to win you more games than picking a conventional strategy. You need to balance the two. you can't just eat peppers and live on spice.
Because I assume that was kind of the situation that happened with Hatrim. Because I assume it was doing something, it was making a scene in, what was this, PU? NU?
Yeah, PU. It was just being annoying.
And, but after,
that's pretty much all it was.
After time, people found out how to get rid of it and how to deal with it. And then no, it's like, most memes will pop up for a while and they either stick or they fall off after people have figured out counterplay.
Yep.
Like, it's just, that's how it is.
It happens in OU all the time. Where all of a sudden a meme becomes known, becomes relevant, and then starts to fall off. An example I can think of is Sub-Disabled Dragapult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Part of what made it good is its surprise value. So when people started being able to see through the disable and kind of could plan around it, like, it used to be able to break Clefable, but then the Clefable would hit Protect, which goes before your disable, so it would disable the Protect, not the Moonblast like you wanted. People would know that just looking at the Dragapult. It would no longer be as good, so the spice value starts to decline.
Yeah.
A notable drop-off in spice power is if you're playing something that isn't best of one. A lot of times your spice works because they can't see it coming. They're expecting something else, or they don't know what to expect. The moment they have that prior information, you're going to see incredibly diminishing returns.
You're more likely to see that type of stuff in battle spot singles, to be honest. Like, generally, that's the sort of meta that encourages to bring spice and memes and stuff like that. It's not, you'll see it in OU and, like, Smogon ladders and stuff. Like, you'll see it in those tiers here and there. But it generally, if you're playing battle spot singles, expect some sort of spice every couple of matches or something. Like, it's someone's going to bring something.
Yeah. Like Pachirisu level type stuff.
Yeah, and the thing with the Pachirisu is, like, it wasn't like it's a good mon. It was the fact that, again, it was kind of like the Miltank. It countered the meta. It did what it needed to do in that meta, and it supported everything perfectly. Like, that's why it won, is because it was a pure, it was like Mega Arduino. Like, it was more TCG.
Yep.
And TCG. Because they both kind of countered the meta. Like,
yeah.
You'll see that in trading, like, card games,
too. In a sense. In a sense, this applies to pretty much all aspects of the Pokemon franchise. The video game, the trading card game, official tournaments, Smogon tournaments. Like,
you could apply this to a lot of different things. It's like why, like, and I guess card games too, like rogue decks are a thing. Because, like, they will have certain matchups that are good against certain ones that are bad. But, like, if there's a meta of, like, this one deck, this thing could be good because everyone's playing this deck.
Right. You have to know the meta, and you have to be familiar with the meta to then be able to take advantage of it with your particular set of spices that you have or want to use. So it's less about just like, oh cool, this randomly works, and more like you carefully plucked out this, like Linnean with the 40 speed on the Reboot to outspeed exactly this one thing. He did work on that. He didn't just say Reboot's cool, I'm gonna throw a scarf on it and go to town. It's knowing what you have to get done.
Bad example. it was me going, wow, Raboot, I feel like could be used. I think it was more, I felt Raboot was underutilized because it's A minus viability. It's not an unknown, right? But everyone was so afraid of rocks and boots, so afraid of rocks and so used to boots. The question became, what's the minimum amount of speed investment that I can use and get away with a scarf? And then I looked at my, you know, the first thing I did when I started building this is I looked at my the S tier viability, and I went, what do I have to deal with? What is going to stop this spice from working, and how do I get rid of it? And it turns out 40 speed was all I needed to get rid of my biggest problems. And then from there, field was open.
Yeah, it comes down to doing enough prep and research beforehand to a degree. Like, sometimes if you just know the meta, you can get away with just slapping a meme together because you know the meta. Then sometimes you have to, like, look at certain things and pick, again, like as you were doing the Raboot, you picked a thing, you figured out how to make it work. You built around it. And again, like, you either build around it or you build it to counter a specific threat or a specific sort of, like, concept or a mon, a type, a strategy, a playstyle. Like, it's... Mm-hmm. It comes down to when you're making a meme build, it may be a joke, but they're incredibly specialized. Like, again, with the stat spreads, you see a stat spread like that, like, you know it's doing something. It may look like a meme on the surface, but, like, someone took time to make it do something specific, even if that thing is just, like, going and taking a hit and then dying. Like that they're putting effort into making it do something jank. Like it may be jank, but it's effort. It takes time and takes research and it takes knowledge of like what's going on in that meta. What does this team do? What does this mon do?
In the like, great cutlery of Pokemon, spice is the crab fork. You don't need it every day. Most meals, you do not need a crab fork. But sometimes, there's a crab, and you need to eat the crab. But your conventional OU fork and knife just do not work well on crab. So you grab the crab fork. That is how you need to approach memes.
I think we need to say the thumbnail for this needs to be a crab with a pepper on it.
We gotta give it
a knife.
I think
we figured out the thumbnail organically. Perfect.
Can we make the thumbnail a GIF?
I can't bet that would be too good.
Can it just be the crab walking into the pot boiling?
Crab falling.
Oh my gosh, that one, yeah.
Get a freeze frame of that and then just put a pepper on its face and just call it a day.
Perfect. We figured it out, everybody. Oh my gosh. But yeah, that's the thing with memes. Like, kind of like I said, you've got to know your audience in a sense, both doing it and everything else. That's what makes it anti-meta. It's not off meta per se. It's anti-meta. You are doing it to break something, to mess with something.
Yeah. A lot of anti-meta is really just like, I'm bored of playing the meta. I want to play something that works against the meta too. It's like,
heck yeah.
It's when he's playing, see someone playing off meta, it's generally either, it's one of the two things. They just took the team from somewhere, or it's like, I built my rogue. Like, it's very much specialized. Is what it's very like too. It's very fine tuned to a degree, like,
right.
So,
and I think that's a pretty good summary of just kind of how to meme, how to spice, how to anti-meta. You can't go too hard into it. Like, be careful with memeing and all that kind of stuff, because you still have to, at the end of the day, make a team or a deck or whatever for what you're playing. It still has to work on its own.
Yeah.
Please meme responsibly.
Yeah.
Please meme responsibly.
And just as a tip too, if you're ever trying to build something like this, don't throw like five meme mons on a team. Try like one at a time and then go from there. Like build like it's kind of like how building like when you want to build around a Pokemon, you don't like throw five Pokemon on a team and you add that like last slot to build to fix it all. Like you generally take a mod and you make things that work with that mon. It's the same thing with a meme. You don't slap three memes on a team, because the next thing you know, everything else is just unstable.
You'll get picked apart by something conventional.
Yeah. Like, start with one at a time, if you're going to do something like that. Like, I want to build Regirock. I want to play with Regirock and OU. You build around Regirock. You don't just slap
that
Regirock.
That one might not be hard.
No, that one might not be hard either. It's just the fact of the matter, like, I'm going to throw all three Regis on a team, and then just make it... It's not just going to work off automatically. Like,
right.
It's most likely going to fail, but... It's just the fact that, yeah, just try one.
Or Shifu's gonna eat you
one at a time.
Yeah.
I just realized that now the Regis aren't all weak to fighting. Now that there's the two.
I really hope that, like, I might actually do Regia Summer League next year.
What have we done?
I might just pull the co-commissioner and just like, I'm doing this. You can't stop me.
All I'm saying is, it's got Iron Defense, and it's got Body Press, if the data mines to be believed.
So,
Regirock might...
Regirock doesn't care. You just run Assault Vest.
Oh, no.
Assault Vest Body Press doesn't sound bad either.
Assault Vest with Drain Punch,
I hate this.
This is memeing at... This is live memeing, folks. this is how
Chocolate
it goes.
Chunk will rule the meta.
Body Press Stack Attacker.
That's one scary. We know. And then you just get Moxie, but defense, and that's gross.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'm excited
for Crown Tundra. We should have another memeing episode once Crown Tundra comes up. Or like a little mini spice episode.
We should get a stream together where it's just Battle of the Idiots.
We could just have a stream of like looking through Crown Tundra mons and just making like spice rec sets.
Absolutely, like a live building thing. That could be the episode
about, like,
1 month.
We could do this. That sounds fun.
That does sound fun. Who knows? Maybe that'll be like December after Crown Tundra's out or something like that, or January.
All right, folks, if we hit $1,000 on Patreon.
No. 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 None of that. That's just more if we hit 2021, really. That's the real question mark here.
Oh.
If we hit $2,000 on the Patreon.
Let's get to 2020 for 2020.
Hey, but we're going to go ahead and wrap up the topic here. We've talked a little bit about memeing, and you've gotten a little bit of a glimpse in how we plan for Battlecasts in the future. So we will be right back with the meme of the episode.
And now for the flavor of the month.
And we are back with the meme of the episode. Not team, definitely meme of the episode. We've made a lot of hints of what's in this team, so we're just going to dive right in. Start us off, Linnean.
All right, first Pokemon in our team, review. We've got we've got Slowbro, Galarian. It's got a quick claw. It's got a quick draw. And you better watch out, because it's a dick.
Yeah.
It's got 212 HP. It's got 252 attack. Adamant, because just because Slowbro's normally a special attacker, it also gets moves that make that less relevant. It's got 44 speed to outspeed those other pesky Galarian Slowbros that are all sorts of terrible. It's got Belly Drum. I can't wait for the quick draw to trigger so you definitely get the Belly Drum off to die.
That has happened a couple times.
You've got Shell Sidearm. You could use Poison Jab if you're a coward, as well as Earthquake and Drain Punch. So here's the thing. It's not what I would consider consistent.
At all.
But when you get the Belly Drum off, you can one-hit KO pretty much anything. Except like Sash and Sturdy, I guess.
41% priority is consistent, right? Like that,
yeah,
that
yeah. Consistent. Coin flip every attack. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Consistent.
We're running Focus Blast anyway. There's already a better chance than that. Like, you know, like.
You've got your Shell Sidearm. One fun fact is, if for some reason your opponent has +6 defense, your Shell Sidearm will go special for you.
It'll always maximize the damage at least. So that's a plus, so I guess.
It's a plus, but you're going to get it for poison. Again, Poison Jab's probably better because of the higher poison chance, but you're way more weak to Imprison, so totally evens out.
Yeah.
Next, we have Rillaboom with a Grassy Seed, because we're doing an acrobatics set here. We've got Adamant Nature, and if I have to tell you the EVs, I'm
sorry.
You don't
know what Rillaboom do.
It's got Swords Dance, it's got Acrobatics, it's got Knock Off. And again, if I have to fill in that last move slot, you can catch the main show every week, Monday. Yeah. So it comes in, it uses Seed, it beats the ever-living crap out of whatever's in front of it, and then it goes home to its four kids and its wife, Deborah.
Oh, it's a monkey.
I don't know what you want from it.
Yeah, the acrobatics is a little bit spicy here, because the team can kind of have a little bit of trouble with Amoongus if it keeps bouncing around. So that really takes care of it quickly, as well as catching a Volcarona or another Rillaboom, even. So it's pretty good.
Alright. So, then we have a Grimmsnarl with Light Clay, Prankster, max HP, 4 attack, 252 speed, Jolly Nature, you want to make sure you're going fast. And, we're already running Light Clay and Prankster. So you're running... Oh, yeah, you're running Reflecting Light Screen. Yeah, I had to double check just in case it was something spicy. and then you have Taunt and Spirit Break. So it's the spiciest thing we have here. Everything is non-standard. It's just a generic Grimmsnarl. I can't put up the facade on that.
The only thing maybe non-standard about this is the EV spread, where a lot of them run a lot of attack so that Spirit Break does more, because why not?
Yeah.
Here, you want to be able, with all the sweepers we've got on this, you want to be able to set up screens multiple times if you can.
You want your screens.
Yeah, yeah. So you might be able to survive to set them a second time. You also go max speed, so you can have the maximum odds to speed tie or outrun opposing Grimmsnarl. So
yeah,
yeah.
All you can really do to them is just either screen their spirit break, though. So.
Mm-hmm.
Or taunt them
out of their screens.
You can.
Oh no, you can't.
Oh, wait,
can.
Dark, right?
I'm like,
I'm dumb.
But Seth and I both did it and immediately realized our mistake.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm so dumb.
You're essentially just doing it to be able to put him up faster in case he's a priority. But again, it's just bulky off. It's bulky speed. You're not trying to do damage. You're just trying to get your screens up and you're trying to taunt stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, you will get a free turn when your opponent forgets the prankster change. It's fine.
Like we did. Dumb.
And then we have Focus Sash Excadrill with Moldbreaker. Max attack, max speed, 4 special attack, naive nature. That seemed a bit off. So we have Stealth Rock, Rapid Spin, both make sense. You're setting up your hazards, you're getting rid of hazards, if need be. You have high horsepower because we have grassy terrain. We don't want to run Earthquake because that'll make it weaker, so we run high horsepower instead for our ground stab. And then we run Steel Beam to prevent defog, or to prevent opposing defog and rapid spin. So you essentially set up your rocks, they set up theirs, you either essentially then steel beam so they can't actually hit you with rapid spin or defog so your rocks stay up.
Exactly. If you KO yourself with steel beam before they spin or defog, it fails. So your hazards stay up.
Because they technically have no
target.
That's
the whole gimmick.
Because the attack actually has to connect for that effect to work of clearing the hazards.
Spirit Surge does not exist.
Hmm. So that's a fun meme set there. It's a bit spicy.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. People, I love that set. It's really neat. And, you know, sometimes special does more damage. Like, if the opposing Grimmsnarl set up Reflect on your Excadrill, Steel Beam it. They won't expect that. They don't have their light screen up.
It's got enough base power to hurt, too. Like, it's 140 base power. It's like, and you're getting stabbed.
I think 130.
Is it 130? Either way, it's above, I think 130. It's above 120. That's what matters. And it's still like, that's still with stab too. That's, even if they aren't, that can be scary on some things. That can hurt a Cleft for a decent chunk.
Yep.
So, it's not the worst option to have.
And then we've got 2 final Pokemon that are just kind of either breakdown sweepers or cleanup sweepers. We're starting off with Komo-O with a fun set here. It's got Throat Spray as its item. The ability you can go back and forth on. I picked Soundproof for this one, just because Toxtricity is taking off and Soundproof will make you basically immune to it, which is awesome. The EVs are 4 attack, 252 special attack, 252 speed with a naive nature. And the moves are Clangorous Soul, Clanging Scales, Flamethrower, and Drain Punch. The idea is you do the Clangorous Soul in order to crank up all your stats, get that Omni Boost. And because Clangor's Soul is apparently a sound move, Throat Spray activates, giving you another boost to your special attack, meaning you've doubled that in one turn, as well as all the other stat boosts, the attack, the defense, the speed, the special attack, and the special defense, all of it. All of it's boosted. So you start going to town with Clanging Scales and Flamethrower and heal yourself up with Drain Punch. That's the Komo-O.
And I think if I remember right, Clanging Scales is also a sound-based move. So if like someone else has
That is correct.
It is. Yeah, so you counter other Komo-O, but then you also get countered by other soundproof Komo-O to a degree. Even then.
That is correct. You've got to watch out for those. And finally, we have a Mimi Dragapult with a Life Orb. The ability is Clear Body. You can switch this out for Infiltrator if you want to. I picked Clear Body because our hazard removal is unreliable at best, and if Sticky Webs comes up, that's going to be a problem. Also Intimidate randomly. I mean, whatever. But Clear Body's okay.
Maybe after Tundra,
you can do Infiltrator.
Tundra might be more relevant for Intimidate.
Yeah, exactly. The EVs are 8 HP, 248 attack, 252 speed with a naughty nature. The 8 HP are so you hit a life orb number, which is just a number that ends in 9. It minimizes the damage of life orbs, so you can actually use it 11 times with no other factors instead of 10 and KOing yourself. Just fun fact. The naughty nature and 7 special defense IVs. This is very, very specific for one Pokemon in particular, which I'll get to when I get to the last move. The moves are Dragon Dance, Dragon Darts, Phantom Force, and finally the meme of the set, Grudge. Which, for those at home who don't remember, Grudge's effect is if you are knocked out by an opponent's attack, that attack's power points drop to zero. It's completely gone.
It's like Spite on steroids.
Yeah, it's like
it's
super
like
Spite.
Bad Destiny Bond.
Yeah. Unless a specific Pokemon only really uses one offensive move, which this is EV'd to be KO'd from 100% by a uninvested Clefable's Moonblast. If Clefable does not have Moonblast power points anymore, it can't stop Komo-o or several other things on the team. Like, the Slowbro kind of absorbs it because of the poison typing, but you also just neuter a Clefable completely, which, like I said, it's really good for the Komo-o because it can't stop it anymore. It can't counter it anymore.
You could probably get multiple Clangor Souls off somehow.
Uh-huh, if you really want to go crazy. But since Komo-o's moveset is Drain Punch, Flamethrower, and Clanging Scales, it's going to have a problem with a Clefable because its only real good move is Flamethrower.
No, it's just like, you could possibly get multiple off and then get some health back. Kinda, it's not.
Yeah,
don't really recommend it, but it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chance.
Exactly. Yeah, and the other thing is, it's really good against sucker punches too. It really kind of plays mind games with sucker punch, so that they can't use that on like Slowbro Galar, which we're depending on that priority for Slowbro to work. And if all of a sudden all their sucker punch power points are gone, they can't outspeed the Slowbro in a priority
war.
What
a sentence.
I know.
What a sentence.
Wow. It's 2020, folks. But yeah, they can't outrun the Slowbro with the priority battle, and Slowbro just goes before it. End of sentence. So it's kind of a neat thing, kind of a weird thing, but it's kind of hitting the ladder, and it's really fun. So yeah, that's the team. It's pretty much built around Slowbro Galar, let's be real. It's a hyper-offense team around a Belly Drum 41% chance of priority sweeper. And it's hilarious the amount of forfeits that you get when you get a Quick Claw or a Quick Draw proc 8 turns in a row. Hilarious. So yeah, we hope you've enjoyed our show. We hope you've enjoyed the memes that we've talked about, as well as just coming up with your own on your own time for your own battles, for your own even trading card game decks like Shamu and I mentioned. And we will catch you guys next time. If you like what you hear here, there are other shows that you can pay attention to. There's one that's hosted by one of the people here, Linian. Tell us about Game Corner.
Game Corner is the place where I don't have to keep looking things up on Serebii to quote the stats, because I do that in advance. it's a place where we get to play all sorts of fun trivia games, and I can make fun of other people for not knowing that Sigilyph learns alternating flying and psychic type moves and nothing else.
Yep,
it's fun.
Pretty much. It's a grand old time. That's one of the shows here on the Puckle Plus feed. The other one is the TCG Cast, hosted by our very own Basket, who often has other people on, like Shamu and myself occasionally, and other good voices like good old Jushiro and such. Very knowledgeable of the TCG. Other than that, though, there is the main Puckle feed. You can catch us every Monday, and that's a weekly show, unlike ours, which is monthly. And there's other ways to support the show as well. If you like chatting with people about Pokemon, come to the Discord. There is a link in the description below, and that's where everything happens. That's where the tournament happens. That's where you can hang out with us just on a regular basis. And chat with us about your memes and get meme advice. It's a great old time. People post their sets in those threads all the time in order to get advice and ideas or partner things like that. It's a good old time, and we all kind of put our thinking caps on together as a community. It's great. You can also support us monetarily by donating to Patreon. It's part of what makes our voices sound so beautiful, because we can actually have good microphones instead of going off of, like, I don't know, a phone or something silly like that. But keeps us sounded nice for you guys, and it goes right back into building the community that you guys know and love. And that's pretty much everything. You can follow our socials, Twitter, Facebook. I keep saying that's pretty much everything, and then I lied. But follow us on Twitter, Facebook to find out what's happening when the next cool thing is going on in the community. And I think that's really all this time. I have been Seth Vila.
I've been Shamu.
And I've been out of my mind.
And we'll see you guys next month, and hopefully we'll have a little bit more information about Crown Tundra, but who knows? We may not. We'll see you guys in October.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.